They don't make men like you anymore.
Well, we try to treat people good. Try to treat good. Have a nice room. Day, have a nice day in your room.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast. Every other week, we talk about a different episode of the series, and we're going through the whole thing in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
I know she brought snacks to the recording today.
I did, if you hear me chewing.
Right.
I apologize in advance.
Not our wonderful Canadian snacks that we talked about last time.
They're pretty much gone.
I think they are gone. I think I ate the last bunch of cheesers? Cheesies?
I think it's cheesies.
Cheesies.
I could be wrong, though.
Okay.
I think I know that I'm remembering accurately.
Yeah, so I think those are finished up. Also, I didn't say that those came to us from our good friends at Schitt's Creek Canadian Style.
Oh.
Which is a... Facebook page. I don't know if they're on Instagram or Twitter, but look around. They're a fun follow, and they are very supportive of our show. So thank you again for
that. Thank you. That is very kind.
And we would be remiss if we don't keep reminding people that we have a Patreon.
Oh, gosh.
You can go to patreon.com/shitsandgiggles, and you can see the different tiers there. I would like to thank Diana and Christy for supporting at the eat glass level. And if you cannot support us monetarily, first of all, I totally get it. But please leave us a rating and review wherever you get the show.
Listen and tell your friends.
Tell your friends. The more people, we've gotten a lot of new listeners these past couple weeks, but just like in off days, not when the show comes out, like that's still getting the same basic number of people,
right.
But there'll be just
like two, three,
two, three. Yeah.
Right.
But there'll just be hundreds of random downloads like on a Tuesday. So I feel like it's just people that find the show and just listen to all of them or download all of them, which is wonderful.
Oh. Or maybe they download one and they're like, this is an obnoxious duo.
You think hundreds of people per day are doing that?
Maybe hundreds of people out there think we're an obnoxious
duo. You know what? Actually, if we're reaching that many people who just listen to one episode a day, that's fantastic. So, again, tell everyone about the show. We greatly appreciate it.
I feel like I can't eat my snacks. I'm worried I'm chewing too loud.
I feel like that's a rule of podcasting. Oh, you probably shouldn't.
I've never tried
eating
it before, but I'm quickly deciding, I shouldn't try it.
At least you're not chewing, like, into the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to put anyone on blast at all, especially not a former student of mine. But there's a former student of mine that has a podcast.
Oh, man.
And I listen just because I'm like, oh, I like this student. She was fun. And she and her husband do it. And they have this segment that is them. They try, like, a new thing that they get at, like, the local, I don't know. Normally it's like Asian snacks.
Oh, okay.
And they chew right into the microphone.
Well,
and if it's crunchy sometimes.
They want you to know that.
I know some people like that. I think it's called ASMR, right?
Maybe.
I'm asking you as though you know this.
No, yeah. I've heard that before. I don't really. I know what you're talking about. I think, don't really know.
Yeah,
that
some people like
called
it. Me, it's not.
Not your jam.
No.
Okay.
So this is a Schitt's Creek podcast in case people were unaware. It's not a podcast where we critique other podcasts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're here to talk about the 7th episode of season 5, A Whisper of Desire.
Yeah.
And I know you wanted me to whisper that, but
whisper.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, okay.
The original air date was February 19th of 2019. This is directed by Jordan Koenig. She directed before this The Plant and The Dress.
Okay.
And I looked, The Plant is the highest ranked episode of season 5 on your list, and The Dress is the highest episode of season 5 on my list.
Oh.
So we will see how she does.
We're a big fan of Jordan's work.
I think we are.
Yeah.
And this is written by Michael Short. We've talked about Michael Short before. He writes two episodes every season, so it always feels like it's been a very long time since
right,
I brought up his name.
Right, since we mentioned him.
Yeah, and this is his first of season 5.
All right.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's start whispering through the episode.
Oh, that would be annoying. So let's just talk normally through the episode.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So speaking of eating, David appears to be shoveling food into his face to start the episode. Well, that's not... I'm being no more critical than Moira is.
Well, yeah. She's concerned about he's going to have indigestion.
Well, she says... Maybe the cause of your indigestion. So I guess this is
a chronic issue.
Yeah. Oh. I have, and we'll get into it, I have so many questions during this episode.
Mm.
And I don't...
You mentioned that you had a lot of things that you were wondering.
Do you?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Not really. yeah,
well, maybe you can
no.
answer all of my questions, because sometimes I know that we will ask questions on this podcast and people listening.
They always have the right answers. We clearly never know.
They have the right answers
yeah.
and are often confused as to why one or both of us are confused by things.
Right.
I have a couple questions here, and one I looked up online. Nobody seems to know.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind
so
of
you're
excited.
Justified in your confusion.
Yeah. And I'm getting a little ahead of us here
okay.
because none of them has to do with indigestion. But again, kind of a question.
Okay.
So he isn't even really supposed to be here eating
oh,
breakfast.
Oh, yeah. He was just running out for coffee. But I do like, though, as Moira's critiquing him, he
yeah.
says, we really should have breakfast more often. This is fun.
Right. So Patrick does show up and he like you said, he's like, David, you came in here for coffee. And
right.
it's like, well, I got hungry. I haven't eaten anything since last night.
Right.
So now I'm eating breakfast.
Yes.
And
with his mom.
Patrick's in a hurry because he is auditioning.
Yes.
Trying out for cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, does Moira have some things to say about this.
Oh, apparently she's told this story quite a bit because David can echo her words. And pretty much knows what's
yep.
coming next and can recite right along with her.
Yeah, he's kind of mouthing her entire
yes.
story.
Yes.
Every now and then commenting. I like how she mm-hmm. says, it was 1979 and I was 17 years old. And he says, she wasn't 17.
Yeah. yeah.
She mentions that she was hostessing for a gas station deli
oh.
at the time. That's when the director oh. walked in.
Right.
I like how she's telling this story to Patrick, and she goes, he walked in to order a Reuben. That's a sandwich. I just thought that was funny. Like
right.
how Moira would know what a Reuben is and assume that no one else
would know.
Would know, you know, no one else is a hostess
right.
of a gas station deli.
Well, yeah.
Right. A sit-down restaurant, a sit-down deli in a gas station.
Yeah, I don't.
Not a thing.
Yeah, I mean, the only
it
thing I can
be.
Think of sometimes that it reminds me of like if you stop at like a truck stop and there's a restaurant inside, but that's
yep.
not a deli.
I was thinking the
almost.
Same thing.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Who knows what was happening in 1979
when she was not 17?
Maybe
I
a little
know.
Bit older. So, Patrick lets it be known that Jocelyn is directing. A production of Cabaret for the
community theater.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of, as we'll see, sort of piques Moira's interest.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
Yeah.
And I just, we see how frazzled Jocelyn is. Why is she taking this on?
Maybe she does it every year. Although we haven't heard mention of this
yeah.
before, and they've been around. But, yeah, you would think that that would be a time that you would step back from directing.
Right, yes.
If you had multiple other things on your plate.
Yeah,
but, you know, like, and I know a lot of people, we really are critical of her.
Sure.
I think, at the fact that she just constantly seems like she's unraveling. And a lot of people have said, like... Yeah, that's what I was like,
right,
or
right,
I can
yes.
understand how she's like that. And And I feel like we got a little bit of clarity in this episode, actually, about her work responsibilities, because we really, I felt kind of confused as to what was happening with her job.
Well, yeah, I mean, we even said that it almost seems like the show forgets that she even has a job.
Right. Like, and we were debating, like, is it summer, or we are always seeing them on Saturdays, because it always, you know, or is it just she's eating at the cafe casually before school, or, you know, so we got a little bit of insight into that. But yeah, I got it. Like, when you're, you know, when you're a mom and you're working and you have children, you want to do it all.
Could you imagine if she won town council? She would lose her mind. Like, that would be the end of Jocelyn. She would one day get Roland's truck just like David and head
drive
out,
away.
And that would be it.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Yeah. That probably would have been even more overwhelming. Although we don't see Moira doing many responsibilities for town council as of late.
We don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. You know, so I don't know. Maybe there's less responsibility with town council than we thought.
So now let's go to the motel.
Okay.
Because we've established the cabaret is a thing.
Right.
And that's where...
Oh, she... But I also liked how Moira kind of referenced that, you know, it sounds like a fun... It sounds like it would be a fun thing to do, like being passengers on the Titanic. And she kind of references the Titanic as she's discussing this whole cabaret and musical theater production.
It's these kind of mean little things that she still says.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are directed to Jocelyn.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the motel.
Now let's go
to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Because Stevie appears to be with a customer.
Checking in a new guest.
Right. And Johnny runs in.
Yeah.
It's a big to-do. Like, this is my main confusion in this whole episode is... What is the deal with Cheryl Mullins? Meaning, Johnny runs right past her, basically pushes her out of the way to say, Stevie, Ted's mom's coming. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
She is a curvy woman.
I think he said a fuller figure.
Full-figured woman, yes. And, like, Stevie's like, she's right here.
Yeah.
And then when they're talking... Cheryl's even like, Johnny, you're looking good as always. So I don't, what is their relationship? They must have known each other. Where did he get this description of her? Is it his remembering?
I don't know. He definitely didn't recognize her. She said that she had lost 80 pounds.
Right.
But still, I mean, certainly that's a dramatic weight loss, but I don't know that that makes you look that vastly different.
But how do they know each other?
Well, right.
Is it just from the on-off Ted Alexis thing, like they ran? Are we supposed to believe that just off screen they've had interactions that were never brought up before?
I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
They don't ever really specify anything. We don't hear mention of her. I don't think in past episodes or any time that they've encountered each other. So.
And that's the thing that surprises me. And also... You know, you even kind of mentioned this when we were watching it. Like, she has to stay at the motel, so she doesn't live in town.
You wouldn't think, right?
So it's not like he's running into her places or anything like that. I don't know. I found it very strange how it almost...
Is this what you looked up that no one else could answer?
No one else
really
has
an answer.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a muddied kind of... background history. I feel like we don't really know.
Yeah, it's just a strange thing where it's like... I just imagine there's this missing episode of Schitt's Creek where they first met Ted's parents or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
really
but it does seem like she has already met him.
Yeah.
Unless she's just very friendly, like, oh, you look wonderful, like,
yeah, but she
saying
says,
that casually.
But she said
but,
as usual or as always.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it is a very strange meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about Cheryl Mullins, though.
Tell us all about her.
She is played by Laura Soltis. Her first IMDb credit was back in 1996. And she has a pretty long resume. And even though she has a very long resume, she doesn't have a whole lot of crossover with shows that other guests have been in.
Right.
She was on Supernatural and Psych.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were shows that we talked about. I'm not even really sure. And I know it's a weird thing to say, But I noticed that she is an American actress and not a Canadian actress. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's the reason.
Hmm.
But she does a lot of TV movies. Okay. She must do a lot of, like, Hallmark movies.
Lifetime or Hallmark?
But yeah.
Okay.
Let's say both.
Okay.
Just a few. Valentine in the Vineyard.
Oh.
Cookie Cutter Christmas.
Oh, my.
And I like this one. Wedding Planner Mystery.
Ooh. They do have the best titles.
Yeah, they really do.
Okay.
So this is really fun because she and, you know, Johnny is really taken aback to, I guess, how different she looks.
Mm-hmm.
And is so flustered.
Oh, yeah. The whole encounter is just awkward.
Yeah, yeah. And she's so complimentary of him and everything like that. I don't know. Does she touch his face? Is he just making this up later on? I'm not even really sure.
Yeah, she refers to him as a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he said, oh, we'll give her our best room. It'll be on us.
It's on us.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, he's totally awkward and flustered and uncomfortable.
And his approach when he runs in is almost as if she is another, I don't know, motel critic or something. The mm-hmm. way that he's like, Stevie, this is such an important customer.
Uh-huh.
I just found it so strange. But I love, during their whole interaction, how Stevie is just smiling. Mm-hmm. She's having such a great time watching this. To the point where after Cheryl leaves, she's like, are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
So now let's go to Town Hall.
We're at the Town Hall.
Jazzagal's practice area. And now where you go to
high school graduation area.
High school graduation. Wait.
Right?
No, the high school graduation happened in an auditorium.
Yeah.
But now people are trying out for cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jocelyn setting up for cabaret tryouts.
Yeah, because Moira kind of sneaks up on her. Those mm-hmm. shoes keep her extra quiet.
Yes. And through this whole interaction, Jocelyn's sort of happy to have Moira there to help out. That's sort of mm-hmm. where this goes. Moira's kind of surprised that she's doing cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Jocelyn said she wanted to do Cats, but it's too political.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
well, Moira also comes in. Wait, I don't know that you said, I don't think
no,
you said
go ahead.
It about, she kind of comes in and plays it off like, oh, I thought there was a council event here today and everything.
Oh, okay.
Like, so she's going there deliberately to address this whole idea, but she kind of plays it off as, you know, she's just casually arriving and mm-hmm. kind of like, oh, what are you setting up for? What are you doing? You're setting up chairs. What's happening?
Yep.
Yeah. So then they kind of get into and talk
mm-hmm.
more.
And Moira starts to tell the story again.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, she's...
Jocelyn already knows
yes,
it.
She must be telling everyone who has ears this story.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how Jocelyn even goes, yep, 1979, you had a Reuben.
Yeah.
Like, she knows the whole story top to bottom again.
Yeah.
And again, just sort of says, hey, Moira, with all your experience and all your knowledge of the theater, of mm-hmm. acting, and I guess specifically cabaret, how about you sit in on these auditions
right.
with me?
Yeah, she asked for help. And she also, this is where she mentions, you know, I have a baby at home.
Right.
I have term papers to grade. So this is kind of that reference to work. There are two job references.
Oh, my. Okay. I think we need to spoil the last one because...
Well, we can talk about it when we get there.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm having too much fun with this
whole
Jocelyn thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so then we kind of see she has papers to grade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess she is currently working in the midst of everything else that's going on.
Right. So I wonder what Roland's up to while she's doing all of this. Let's go to Rose Apothecary because that's where Roland's hanging out, mm-hmm. basically.
Yep. With the baby.
So David's there while Patrick is trying out, I guess, all day long. I don't
yeah,
like, I mean,
know.
We, he says he has to go try out and then we go there. There's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, Bob's there. Way later on, it's time for Patrick
mm-hmm.
to finally, I guess he just had to get himself mentally prepared.
Prepping. Yeah.
Or like Bob, he just set aside his whole afternoon for this. So David's kind of hanging out inventory or whatever. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland stops by. With a
Roland
kind
Jr.
of upset Roland Jr. Not at first.
Yeah.
And So they're just making small talk, the two of them.
Mm-hmm. He decided that Rose Apothecary is such a great place because there's an eerie, crypt-like silence. Right. So it's the perfect place to bring a baby. But no, he had a purpose for stopping in. Jocelyn sent him to get some organic applesauce.
Yeah.
Which makes Roland feel like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Who is he? Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow? David's having none of this,
and David's
this
like,
too.
You are not.
You're not Gwyneth Paltrow. I love when he says, what can I help you with to shorten your stay in my store?
Right.
But during all of this, he gets a phone call.
From Ronnie.
Right.
Yes.
And we just hear his end of the conversation on this phone call. Mm-hmm. And I love how David is talking to him and how he stops talking on the phone to say, David, I'm having a private conversation.
Private call. Yeah. Because, of course, his initial, he's like, oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah. You know, like, it seems like something really bad has happened.
Something really bad has happened.
Yeah. But really weird.
Gwen was trimming a tree.
Behind their house.
Behind their house.
And hit a power
line. As we find out later, dressed in rubber.
Yeah.
And hit a power line. To the point where he says power lines are flying all over the place.
And Ronnie, I guess, is on the scene.
Ronnie's on the scene and calls Roland to help with this.
Well, he's the mayor.
I guess. I don't think
a mayor goes and handles these kind of issues, but yeah, no. It's important for him to go and help.
Yeah, I don't think you could just call the mayor and say, like, my shower's not working or something like that.
Well, there's a power line down.
Right.
It's a community issue.
Maybe he has a background in
electrical
work. Yeah, maybe. And he basically is just like, I'll leave this baby here. I'll see you later, David. Bye.
And the applesauce. Because at first he debates, how do you think this applesauce will do out in the sun? And David's kind of like, I think maybe you should be more concerned about the baby out in the sun. And then the baby there, you know. And that's when he says, well, I'll just leave them both here.
I'll just leave them both here with you.
And that's when David talks about, you can't just leave a rogue baby here in my store.
Yeah, he does say that he has an appointment with a very important client and so on. But no, he's stuck with this baby now.
Yeah. Yeah, and the baby, of course, starts crying right away. And he says, no. I will not accept that.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to the motel lobby office.
Yep.
Because Johnny's still, like, all out of sorts about this. But now he and Stevie, have we ever seen them hang out behind
the
desk?
Well, they were working
together?
On, they were discussing something.
Oh,
they were, like,
okay.
Looking over books or paperwork or something. Yeah. And Alexis pops in.
Slides and pops. Should we call it the slide
and
pop?
I don't know, but you love that.
I do. It is it's a gift that makes the rounds, and I love it.
Uh-huh.
It's super fun.
Yeah, it's very cute. It's very Annie Murphy, you know, like, perfect little moment.
Yeah. But she's basically there. She comes in and says that Ted's mom needs towels, right?
All she has is a face cloth.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so she needs some towels, to which Johnny is not comfortable delivering these towels, which I get if he's concerned that she, you know, is going to make a move on him.
Of course.
A hotel room is probably not the place for him to go, her hotel room.
Right. He tries to get Stevie to do it. Stevie's not going to do it.
Right.
And Alexis is really, she's not sure what's going on here. And Johnny decides to, you know, basically have the titular line of the episode and tells her that he picked up on a whisper of desire.
Right.
To which their reactions are both great, because when he says it, I love how Stevie puts her head down between her knees, which is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And how Alexis just says, don't ever
say that again. Yeah.
It's super fun. And Alexis is like, listen, she is married. I don't know what the big deal is here.
In a happy marriage, she's just a warm, affectionate kind of person. And this, I think, is when he's saying, like, she touched my face.
He's rubbing his face.
Yeah.
She should say something like, she's very affectionate. Remember when you initially met her? That's all.
Okay.
You
would write it differently then.
Again, it feels like there's a missing episode.
Uh-huh.
And it also feels like there's definitely a missing scene, because I didn't pick up on it the first time I watched this, that Alexis shows up in scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
It is not alluded to for a very long time in this episode as to why she's wearing those.
Oh.
Like, it has not been a thing since she quit that job that she just helps out from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
She's never wearing scrubs ever. They're never talking about her helping out with animals.
Mm.
And the fact that she just shows up like this.
Mm-hmm.
And
when Ted comes, he's in scrubs as well. He has like a jacket or something over top. But
well, he's right behind her.
Yeah.
Because he comes in again.
To she's make a second
impatient
request.
About these towels.
Yeah, for the towels.
Yeah. And then Johnny's like, oh, great. Ted's here. He can give his mom these towels.
Yeah, because she's like, he said, I can't take them. That would leave Stevie alone here at the desk. And to which she's like, I actually prefer it that way.
Right, yes. Well, no. It's, yeah, he can't. Wait, sorry. I'm confusing myself a little bit here. I thought that was when he was invited to lunch.
Oh, maybe.
That he tries to get out of that. But Stevie's more than happy to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Ted is like, listen, my mom really wants you to come to lunch with us.
Mm-hmm.
The four of us will go have lunch. It'll be super great.
Right.
And that sort of ends up happening.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because Stevie jokes and she's, as everything kind of wraps up, Ted leaves and she's like, oh, wait, do you hear that? And they all kind of stop and listen. And she said, I think it was a whisper of desire. And of course, Alexis goes in for the high five. They mm-hmm. have almost like a little sisterly kind of moment there.
Yep.
But Stevie's really not into it. And
it's really great. Like, there are certain times where I wonder how much of this is ad-libbed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she says, do you hear that? Like, Alexis's reaction is almost as if she's trying so hard not to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knows what's coming or just knows that something good is coming, but she mm-hmm. doesn't know what she's going to say.
Yeah.
It's really, like, this scene is really well performed by everybody mm-hmm. involved. Except Ted. He's fine. He's doing what Ted's supposed to do.
Okay.
This is not a Ted episode.
All right.
So now let's go back to the cabaret tryouts, though.
Bob's on stage.
What is Bob doing?
I don't know.
What's
his
happening?
Little Bob run.
Who's he trying out for? Now, we talked about this, and what I don't want is I don't want listeners to become angry with us at some point because we don't know anything about cabaret. But I feel like, and I kind of remember this season, it's going to get more heavily into the cabaret, and I don't know anything about it. I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never read about it. Like, I don't know what the story is. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm going to watch it.
Okay. Yeah. We probably should.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I don't know. Because later she refers to some characters when mm-hmm. Patrick's trying out. And I'm like, I know what an MC is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that is an MC.
Mm-hmm.
Unless those are initials for a character's name. I don't think so. But I feel like I need to have a better understanding of what this
mm-hmm.
play is.
Yeah.
And also,
musical.
Like, musical. And also, like, if it ties into the season
mm-hmm.
or if it relates to character arcs
mm-hmm.
or something like that, I feel
right.
like that would be helpful.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. But, we watch Bob trot around.
Trot around.
He does. I love his very serious and angry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They try to give him some redirections and Jocelyn tells him to play it angrier. Like,
put your hands on your hips.
Yeah.
And he does his, like, Bob trot, and he's so, like, a smile
wonky.
Plastered on his face, and then he stops, like you said, puts his hands on his hips, and looks really mad.
In pain,
very awkward.
Almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is where...
And Moira is still sitting kind of behind
right, yeah.
Jocelyn and the assistant director, I guess?
I don't know who this woman is.
Yeah, well,
and she doesn't say anything, so I didn't...
Mm.
She's credited.
Yeah, she's there, but...
I know, and she's in next episode, too.
Mm.
Maybe she'll say something next time,
mm-hmm.
and we can mention her.
Yeah.
I didn't do the research.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Mm. Sorry.
But,
sorry about it.
But basically, Jocelyn invites Moira up
mm-hmm.
to sit
yes.
next to her. And she even gives Bob suggestions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, now let's go back to Rose Apothecary. Because
David's bonding with the baby.
Tina from Premium Party shows up. Later on, she says her full name. It's Tina Holbridge.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina Holbridge is played by Hannah Chessman. And she is a writer, director, and actor. Mm-hmm. This woman is a triple threat. She has appeared in shows that we've talked about, like Flashpoint, Anne of Green Gables, Murdoch Mysteries, and Star Trek Discovery. And she has a bunch of films and TV shows sort of in post-production.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I felt like she looked very familiar to me, but I can't really put my finger, like all those things, I don't
know.
I certainly don't know her from those. I did say to you, she has a little bit of a Kathy
Griffith
kind of vibe to me. I don't know, like her, maybe just her facial features or like something.
Sharp facial features. Yeah.
That, and maybe that's the connection that I'm making, that I just feel like I see a little bit of a resemblance there. So that's why I'm feeling like I've seen her before.
No, because even after you mentioned that, I did look back through her IMDb, like really trying to find something
that,
very specific that you would know her from. But no, she must just have that kind of look.
Yeah. Yeah, but she kind of instantly makes a connection with David.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really hoping that they'll make a connection because he wants to, you know, secure them as a client. But as soon as she sees little Roland Jr.
Right. Or as David refers to him, little tyke.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, because she says, oh, I didn't know you had a little guy.
Right.
And everything. And then it turns out she also has a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, so she's really happy to, they sort of make a connection just because of the kids.
Yeah. And it's a fun back and forth here when she asks how old he is. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
three or four months.
Yeah. She's like, he's really big for that. And David's like, well, I've been feeding him a lot of granola bars.
Right. Granola. Yeah.
Or it's all the granola. And she's like, you can't feed a baby granola. He's like, well, no, I eat the granola bars and it gives me the energy to feed him applesauce.
Yeah.
So it is really fun. Like, it's just a fun thing where they are making this connection and it really doesn't become about business anymore.
No.
So now let's go have lunch with Cheryl.
Yeah.
And of course we're at the cafe.
Yep. Yeah. She's storytelling about Ted's naked crying adventures when he was little.
Naked crying adventures with, I almost called it candy floss. I live in a different country.
Candy floss?
I can't think of what it's, cotton candy. Okay. Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really weird.
That is strange. There's only one place I can think of that we go to that they refer to.
I know.
Cotton candy is candy floss. I'm wondering.
All I got in my
I
head.
Wonder if. Any of our listeners live in areas where they refer to it as candy floss, I would kind of like to know.
Oh, yeah. Let us know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear that. I've never really heard that until we went there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, she's telling stories about, you know, Ted as a kid. Alexis now mentions
a Vin Diesel adventure that she had.
Yes. No, she talks about Vin Diesel.
Yes.
And this is when she mentions that she's helping Ted out today in Scrubs.
Yes. Yeah. I guess they shut down
for
the vet
lunch.
Clinic. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. And Cheryl's really upset because, you know, Cheryl's in town. Mm-hmm. She wanted to see the sights. She wanted to go to the Elmdale Gallery.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a gallery, I guess, exhibit that she wanted to go see. But she doesn't want to go by herself. So she is hoping Johnny would accompany her. And this is also when it comes out that she is separated.
Well,
Ted had shared that information. We didn't really talk about that when he came looking for towels.
No,
Or am I remembering this wrong?
No, he didn't. Because at this point, Alexis is still having a lot of fun with this whole thing. Because she really pushes him to be like, oh, no, you should go to this gallery. And when she walks away to pay, Cheryl goes to pay, that's when Ted's like, I'm really glad you're doing this.
They just split up and everything like that. Yeah.
And that's when Alexis is like, well, but Dad, if you really do have work to do, maybe you shouldn't go.
Right, yeah.
And I love how he looks at her and he's like, well, I'm in it now.
Right, yeah.
And then
and it was his mom and stepdad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So now. Yeah.
No, you're right. I got thrown off when that information was shared by Ted.
Yeah. Ted's just around to give information this episode.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, and Cheryl also makes a mention that she gets what she wants. No holds barred.
Yep.
Yeah. She's going after things that she wants because in light of this separation.
Yeah.
Or Ted said, I guess, you know, like she's just decided she's
going to
go after whatever she wants and no holds barred. And yeah, I think
100%.
I said Cheryl off on that scene a little
bit.
And
now Johnny is even more uncomfortable by this.
Yeah.
But now they have to drive to Elmdale together and wander around a museum filled with nude paintings or drawings or something.
We find out later. Hear that. Yeah.
And she does refer to it as a hot date, which I think is fun. Yeah. She's like, I got a comped room and a hot date with the owner.
Yes,
this is great.
The owner of the hotel. Yeah, the motel.
So now let's go back to the tryouts, the auditions.
Yes. And we hear Beth. Beth is reading with Patrick.
We do hear Beth. Yeah. I had to go back. I had to rewatch because I didn't know if Beth had any lines or was just standing there
she
like
does,
the
though, a brief
script
line.
Girl or whatever. Yes. So Beth is played by Sherry D'Elia. She had some minor roles in a handful of shows, but now seems to have a regular gig on a Netflix series called Ginny and Georgia.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
Nope.
But it's a show that's been on for 2 years now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, so she is rehearsing or standing in, like, I think
she's trying out.
Oh,
I'm
she's
sure
trying
it's an
out.
Audition,
okay.
I guess. Or I don't know. Maybe she's standing
I just
in.
Didn't know why Moira was so quick to replace her.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of expected Patrick to be playing opposite whoever that other girl is that was sitting there with just a copy of the script. Like, if they just needed someone to
just
run
kind
lines.
Of run lines. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. But Moira instantly wants Jocelyn to step in.
Right.
And I kind of... And maybe I'm, like, being naive about this, and you'll be like, well, of course that's why it happened. Like, I'm assuming, or I was thinking, like...
Oh, please ask me about theater.
Well, no. Did she just want Jocelyn to step in to show her ineptness at theater?
I don't know why.
Like, was that her motive? Like, well, why don't you go up and run this scene with him? Like, I mean, clearly Jocelyn was uncomfortable with it.
Yes, but I don't think she did this on purpose. Like, okay. I don't think this
like,
is...
Like, I didn't know if her goal was, I really want to take over this, and I want her to feel like she can't handle doing
this. I didn't see
this
as her being mean-spirited. I saw this as her being like, this is how it works.
Okay.
Like, the director sometimes goes up and does stuff, so this is how you should be directing.
Right.
I mean... You know, it might be a little bit insulting to, you know, for her to give or for her to tell Jocelyn what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she did this to embarrass her or anything like
that.
Okay.
I wasn't sure because Jocelyn clearly, like, wasn't comfortable. And I'm like, oh, is she trying to make Jocelyn realize, like, I'm way in over my head. I don't know enough about acting in theater to be able to do this.
Jocelyn's acting is wonderful, though, because I love
how
she's
not even acting.
Everything of hers is just like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Like,
it is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick is giving it his all.
Yes.
He's doing a very
good
job.
He's auditioning for the role of Cliff.
Right. But he doesn't get that.
Right.
He is MC.
Right.
Which
but,
is
yeah.
a bigger role, question mark? Hey, you know what? We'll find out when we watch Cabaret.
Yeah. Yeah. But Cliff was a role he had many women, but was not, what does that say? Had not drawn true pleasure from any of his relationships. And Patrick's like, I think I can handle that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm assuming MC's probably a bigger role.
Well, Moira said, like, you want your biggest talent front and center, which is why he isn't appropriate for the Cliff role and why she is feeling like he would be a better fit for the role of the MC.
I like just to think that they were about to give the MC role to Bob. They were like, this is perfect for Bob. Oh, my God, Patrick's here. Okay.
Yeah, maybe Jocelyn was. I don't know.
I don't know. I know there's no way they could show us the entirety of their performance or their production.
Yeah.
But I would love to in the
I
end
I would have
see
loved
exactly
to have seen,
because
we know later there's reference, obviously, Ronnie.
Sure.
Tried out. Like,
yeah.
I would have loved to have seen an audition, little audition snippet for
Again,
her, too.
These wonderful little webisodes
yeah.
that they did early on in this show, that's one thing they could have done.
Yeah.
Just little tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing what Bob was doing had me so curious. And
uh-huh.
I would love to see everybody try out. All right, let's go back to Rose Apothecary to hang out with this vendor for just a little bit longer.
Yep.
Because in comes Roland.
Yeah, after getting electrocuted three times. And the third time was a little hard for him to bounce back from, apparently.
I love how this woman is not... Shocked might not be the best word, but she, like...
She's just assuming this is a David Roland relationship with a baby.
This does not faze her at all.
Yeah.
This goofball who is, what would you say, 25, 30 years David Sr. comes in talking about how he's just been electrocuted.
Wait, 25 or 35 years?
I said 25 or 30.
I think that's a little off.
You think so?
Well, we talked about David and Alexis were late 20s, early 30s. I guess he's in his 40s, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they're in their 40s.
I didn't think so. I thought he had to be into
his 50s. Well, Jocelyn, I don't think is 50 in her 50s and having a baby.
But
I think...
But that relationship to me feels...
You think he seems older than her.
Yes.
But weren't they together, like, in school?
Oh, God, you're right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Yeah, this is me. Jesus. Yeah.
But no, so I think you're off with saying he's that much older. Like, age-wise, it could... Potentially, it's probably more like a 10-15
age range.
We're always never really totally clear on ages for everyone, but I think we kind of have established.
And I think what really throws me is...
Yeah, I think he's like mid-40s. Like early to mid-40s.
No. It's the whole Jocelyn thing where when you look at Jocelyn in real life...
Oh, she is
such a contemporary of
the wig
David
and everything
and
really
and stuff
you
like
off.
That.
Yeah.
And you know, Roland, I'm just going to refer to these characters by their character names.
Yeah.
He's been around forever.
Yeah.
He's been in things forever.
So that means
he is a person
like
must
he's...
easily be in his 50s, probably close to late 50s, I'm going to say.
I'm going to live Google.
Listen,
we got to
do the research after the fact. That's right. Important.
Well, I mean, but it's not like, why would we be researching ages and stuff? You know what I mean? Like, this isn't really relevant to.
While you're looking, I do.
He's 61.
Okay.
So you were even, but I think he certainly is not playing a 61-year-old.
No, I don't think so either, but yeah. I think it's.
And he doesn't even look 61. I think he looks great for his age.
No,
I would not.
I'm just saying it's not like they're trying really hard to make him look young.
No.
I think they're honestly making Jocelyn look older.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, it is still weird for me to picture them in high school together.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Jennifer Robertson is 50.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
a 10-year real-life age difference between the two of them.
That's even...
But I don't feel like it appears that way on the show.
No.
I think they really are playing off the ages very well.
She looks a lot younger than 50.
She looks much younger than 50.
I think so.
She looks wonderful.
All right.
Very youthful. I would not have guessed that she was that.
No, it's very surprising.
But anyway, back to David and Roland. But you're saying, Tina, right?
Tina.
Is that her name?
Yeah,
Tina. Yeah, Tina is not thrown off at all. Like she,
no.
Which is, I don't think it's more so the age, but just the fact of, like you said, the
everything.
Goofiness
yes.
of, like David is very put together, polished, shop owner. I don't think he had a hat on.
He does.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, like clearly they are on opposites attract kind of couple,
right.
You know, 100%.
It's just funny that she doesn't comment on that or say something like, well, clearly opposites attract.
Yeah, but that's always on
something.
This show. There's never any relationships
yeah.
are never like questioned or
no,
wondered
you're right.
about.
That's a good point.
So
yeah.
they always portray right. any relationship as being.
I do like how she's kind of like on her way out. And again, I think she just says like, well, you must be blah, 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 and so on. And
you
I
must be dad
it.
Or whatever.
Yes.
I think.
And
yeah.
I just so love it how Roland's like, he took me shopping once.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a weird thing to bring
right.
up.
Yeah. And I think while Tina is still there, he shares about Gwen being okay.
Yes.
And,
yeah,
you know,
Gwen's
her,
okay
she had
she's
her
rubber dress
on.
When
she cut the wire. Yeah. And then Tina, I think, references family time. Like, well, I'll let you guys go so you can have family time and everything. And she heads out. But David feels like their meeting was very successful. It seems like they are going to be handling, like, a baby shower coming up. They mentioned that in their past scene that they were in, how he's like, well, I threw a shower for my friend Jocelyn and basically put it all together in just a day. Yeah. So I can certainly handle anything.
It's really nice. And you say
they've
that
made a nice connection.
David's aware that the meeting went well. But it really is Roland, because she leaves and he closes the door behind her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, it seems like that was a successful meeting. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, the whole thing is she's coming back.
And
next
he needs
Wednesday,
to have that baby around.
And he needs to have the baby
right.
around.
So he offers anytime you need a babysitter. And Roland's like, well, Jocelyn and I could go see a movie or something
like
that.
Thursday's
like
great. Well, I was thinking Wednesday between four and five.
Right.
He's like, no, how about Thursday? No, Wednesday is the time that I need this baby.
Right.
It's really nice and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you don't get to see these two characters interact all that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is a reference to that episode where they went shopping, mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, yeah, that was kind of, I mean, with just the two of them, with nobody else around.
Right.
That may have been the last time there was any sort of interaction with these two.
Yeah, we don't see them interact quite as much as some other characters do.
So now let's go back to the exterior of the motel, because Johnny and Cheryl got back from their museum excursion.
Yes. Yeah, and, looking at nude photos with a new friend.
And this is another weird thing where she's like, all right, Johnny, I have something so important to tell you. I'm like, what? So she was going to tell Johnny, listen, there's this Zumba instructor.
Well, this
what
is, I think,
this?
Where she shares
she...
that. Yeah, I don't know.
It's, and I know it's,
she shares the fact that she and Ted's stepdad have separated and everything. And
but I don't know why she's going to.
Why it's even relevant for him.
In him or tell. Like, I understand from a TV show perspective how you want this, because he's freaking out that she's going to profess her love for him or something. So it's funny, but they're interrupted because Alexis runs out and she's like, what's going on over here, you two?
Right.
And so they're interrupted by Ted and Alexis. And this is when she's like, okay, I guess I'll tell all of you about my Zumba instructor.
Well, I mean, she kind of, she sort of shares all this information and announces that, you know, I found somebody new. And then, you know, you kind of panic thinking it's Johnny. And then, of course, she's like, and he's 10 years younger than me. Which then, of course, you know, she
I do like
about.
How she says, and he's 10 years younger. And Alexis goes, then who? It's a very funny sort of way to end this.
Yeah. But and when Ted says, oh, you're Zuma. And he knows the name. Bill. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, does this mean I get a free gym membership? Like,
It's so
strange. Wherever she lives, like, Ted could go to the gym there.
It's close enough for him to go to the gym.
Yeah.
But she needs to stay in a motel to visit Ted for the day. Why is she here also?
Why is she here? I don't know.
It's not like she showed up for singles week or something like that.
I don't know.
I don't think it's ever said.
I don't know that it's ever said either.
Like, this episode to me, and I'm not trying to get too into our final judgments, because we have one more quick scene. It really feels like we got to get a Johnny story in here somewhere. But, which seems really weird because of what the next episode is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have your Johnny episode. It's right there. You don't, like, this really does feel like a strange
episode
that asks a lot of questions and is just there to sort of establish that cabaret is a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go back to the auditions, because they're wrapping up or they have wrapped up.
Right. Oh, well, they also have a mention. Oh, yeah. You kind of forgot how Cheryl mentions that Johnny reminds her of her older brother, or could be like her older brother. And then Alexis has kind of a funny line, because she's like, oh, what's her Zumba instructor going to do when he finds out?
That she's in love with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I also do like, I made fun of Ted, how he has nothing really to say in this episode. Mm-hmm. I do love when he's like, maybe I should start calling you Uncle Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of funny too.
Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back. Auditions are over. And, you know, this is where Jocelyn basically says, Moira, you're really good at this. Mm-hmm. I think you should take over as director.
Right.
You have the experience. She basically ran these auditions.
At first, Moira thinks that she wants her to take on the role of Sally.
Right.
Because, you know, she's already played the role of Liesl von Trapp at 50. Who's a 16-year-old girl in The Sound of Music.
So great.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of where she thinks Jocelyn's going to go as she starts to sort of, like,
is
have this
Sally
conversation
the main character of Cabaret?
I guess she's the main character. Okay. I mean, I know we don't want to spoil eventually
spoil
who plays the
who
role
is
of Sally,
but I mean, these like Cliff and Sally and MC or the MC. I was like, I wish I knew who any of these characters were.
We're ill prepared as usual.
I'm going to watch before we record our next episode. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
I'll find it.
You're going to frantically be doing that 5 minutes before we sit down together. I have a feeling.
I will let you know. If I find it, if okay. you would like to
I'll
join
watch
me.
It.
Or I could just give you like a book report.
No, I'll watch it. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what happens here. But
right.
Moira refuses to take full responsibility.
Well, and also too, yeah. Moira's like, I don't want to step on what you have going here. Because I like how Jocelyn's like, I don't have the skills to do this. Step all over me.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, she suggests that Moira do the director.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you said, Moira's kind of like, no, I can't take that on. This is your
right.
thing. You know, and she said, you really would be doing me a favor because
yeah.
she clearly
too
has
much
too much
plate.
On her plate. Like she has to call a family to say that their daughter bit another child at school.
Again, this is a chronic problem with this girl biting people. It seems again, she is grading term papers.
Right, she teaches high school.
And there are children biting other children.
We've always had that age thing. Remember when they did the drug play? We were like, these kids look like they're junior high kids. But then Alexis was in her class clearly as a senior. So yeah, like the age has always been.
I know we've made the joke about a one-room schoolhouse before.
Right.
But maybe
well, we also said too, we made the reference to the fact that your high school that you went to basically went from what? 7th to 12th.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
And it was because where you lived was small enough that at the time that was what they needed. Now,
yeah, sure.
Since
no.
then, they've built like a middle school.
But I would say that my town was so small that we would not be able to support a Rose Apothecary. I don't think it would have made
oh,
it
no.
in my town.
No. There was a Rose Video, though. Not quite Rose Video, but
no.
there was a video store that was supported. That was
yeah.
about the only thing.
A video and store that painted a giant Mickey Mouse on their walls. And
right.
I was the exterior of the place.
Yeah.
And even when I was young, I was like, I think that's illegal. I don't think they could just put Mickey Mouse
yeah.
on the side of this.
There's basically like the general store.
Yes.
And a Rose Video in your town growing up.
I'm sure we talked about this before, but I guess I never realized how
and
similar my small
and
town was to Schitt's Creek. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And your high school was 7th through
yeah,
12th
you're
grade.
You're right. Okay. All
so
right.
maybe that
you
is the
what?
Situation that
yes.
that she has. So maybe, you know, her, the age really does scan. Yeah. But still, another child biting someone, that doesn't seem like a
that's,
middle school or high school
that's
thing.
Elementary school stuff. And
that's
hopefully
not even
very
elementary
young
school. That's like preschool.
Elementary school. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm curious about that. But
she finished her term paper and bit the kid next to her.
I guess. Yeah.
Jeez. All right. And that's it. That's how the episode ends.
But yeah.
Moira
then
takes it on and says, you're my assistant director.
To which.
Which may actually have more responsibility
right,
than the director.
Right. To which Jocelyn's like, oh no, what have I done?
And I think I would be sad if I didn't point out that she is still wearing the post Doodle Bops wig. She's still
oh.
wearing like her haircut wig. Like,
yeah, I think she'll wear that
no,
for a little while.
I know. It's just
her hair can't grow that fast.
I know. But in any other sitcom, they'd be like, all right, we're done with that episode. Here
uh-huh.
we go back to your regular yeah. hair or something.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen enough TV shows
oh,
where
yeah.
where a character gets like a crazy haircut or hairstyle.
Yeah.
And the next episode, they're back to looking.
Yeah, but like
always
she
did.
Always wears a wig. So what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Well, I mean,
this is a crazy,
this is her,
crazy wig.
But it's also her character now.
I know.
Like, she's, like we said, she is just doing, overwhelmed and doing crazy stuff.
All right. Well, that's it. That's how the episode ends.
It is how the episode ends.
Wow. This is so great.
Listeners of the show will know that we are ranking the Schitt's Creek episodes. Every time we watch one, we decide where it fits in our list from the best of the best Schitt's Creek episode to the least best of the best Schitt's Creek episode.
That's so, a lot of best.
Carla, if this episode were a sandwich, would it be a Reuben or would it be a Rachel?
Oh.
And I don't know which one's better. I guess it's just a personal choice.
I don't know.
For you.
I don't.
I will show you your list and then you can decide where this goes.
Okay. My new number, 26.
26.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. I think at this point it is important for people to know that with this episode, this is the 59th
wow.
episode of this show. So anything over 30, that's the halfway mark. Mm-hmm. So pretty good. And strangely enough, we're pretty close. Mine's 24.
Wow.
I knew 24. And that's... You know, I said I had problems with this episode because, like, there's so many weird things happening.
You thought there was a lot of unanswered
questions. But mm-hmm. it's an entertaining episode.
Oh, yeah.
It was very funny. Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff with Cheryl, while it is unnecessary, was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you liked it maybe a little. Well, I mean, although we ranked it close,
yeah.
I feel like you liked this one a little bit more than I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real throwaway episode. It's not like, you know, I feel like our... The episodes
well,
are really
Well, it's moving
high.
Us into Cabaret, which becomes a big
that's like
thing
the second
as we finish
half
out
of this season.
This season.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just, there's not a whole lot of character development. Like, mm-hmm. there's no big thing that happens where I feel like those are always our really high episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But for something that I do feel is kind of like a throwaway episode to be this high,
mm-hmm.
there was enough going on. There was enough good jokes. So. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Some good Stevie moments.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So we will see you all in 2 weeks because we'll be discussing the 8th episode of season 5, The Hospies.
Yeah.
And I think I always want to say The Hopsies.
You're wrong.
Okay. I know. I'm preparing you
okay.
to correct me.
I will.
I even think I said it in the last episode. I said Hopsies.
Oh, I don't remember you saying that.
But that is the next episode we're going to talk about. So we will talk to you all again in 2 weeks. Until then, have a great 2 weeks, everybody.
Warmest regards.